Hi there, you hell of a has-beens. It's Cyanon telling you to heft your horns up as Reckonon racks up the roadies for a raucous tale of second chances and the first man. We'll see if there's a secret chord that Adam plays and pleases the Anons in tonight's Hard Rock Hallelujah. Chapter 1. Debut.
You ungrateful, disgusting, fucking losers!
Adam scowled with a crack in his voice. He had done so much to them. Killed Serpentius, killed so many of her people, but Charlie couldn't help but feel a twinge of pity at the pathetic display in front of her as the first man impotently threw a tantrum at his defeat. It wasn't in her nature to give up on someone, no matter how vile, horrible, and wretched their souls were. She knew they could all change. Foaming at the mouth, Adam scanned the crowd with the eyes of a mad dog, giving Charlie a shock of adrenaline, until, finally, his hateful gaze locked onto Vaggie, her dearly beloved who had endured so much pain at the hands of the first man and his lieutenant.
You worthless fucking traitor! I'll wipe that look off your face!
Adam seethed with spite as he stretched his arm out, summoning the last of his strength to shoot one final holy beam at Vaggie. Charlie saw nothing but red as her horns grew out again. She knew she had to act now before he took another one of her precious friends. No, her family at the hotel away from her. Especially not Vaggie, who she loved more than anything. Without hesitating, Charlie lunged forward and struck him with her trident, right through his heart. Adam coughed up ichor as golden blood flowed from his chest, falling backwards with a heavy thud. No, this wasn't what she wanted. She had never meant for this to happen. Charlie fell to her knees, trembling in shock. She could hear his lieutenant, Lute, let out a cry of pure anguish as the normally ice-cold exorcist rushed towards her commander, tears streaming down her face, pleading for him to live. Adam gave her a tender smile before the light faded from his eyes.
Now, take your little friends and go home, please,
Lucifer smugly bellowed, ushering Lute and the surviving exorcists to retreat back to heaven. Charlie could vaguely make out her girlfriend Vaggie congratulating her.
Whoa, you did it, hon!
She could hear her say with the widest grin she'd ever seen her have in public, but hell might as well have frozen over as she simply stared into her ichor-covered hands. She never wanted any of this to happen. She didn't mean to. She didn't. She wasn't a killer. But she just took someone's life in cold blood. Vaggie shouldn't congratulate her. She should be condemning her. She just violated one of her core beliefs. How could she preach redemption when she just erased a soul? But she had to do it, or he wouldn't stop. No. It was an accident. She just wanted to stab his shoulder like before. She didn't want to take his life. How could she be thinking this? Bile rose from Charlie's throat while tears stung her eyes as everything became too much. Catching a glimpse of Adam's lifeless face just a few meters from her was the straw on the camel's back as Charlie became so sick the dark bile escaped from her mouth as her stomach clamped down, expelling all the mental anguish from her guts as the dam broke, tears erupting from her glowing red eyes as she cried profusely. Alarmed at the collapse of his daughter's mental state, Lucifer rushed to comfort her.
It's all right, sweetie. It's gonna be all right. I got you now.
The fallen seraph wrapped his red highlighted white tailcoat around Charlie as he held her tight. It was maddening to him that the douchebag managed to hurt his precious Sharshar. Even in death, still, at least that worthless ass gave him not one, but two opportunities to reconnect with his daughter. She was finally going to be back in his life after heaven knows how long they've been estranged. It was unlike his little girl to be so distraught like this. Lucifer had to do something about it, anything to cheer her up. Seeing his bundle of joy in this state disturbed him like nothing else. He let out an awkward chuckle as he finally thought of something.
You want some pancakes, sweetie?
he offered in a hushed sing-song tone. Charlie gave her father a weak smile as she continued to revel in melancholy and self-loathing. At least she went from crying to sniffling, though, so he was going to call that a win. Charlie was back at the ruins of the Hasbin Hotel, walking through the dilapidated rubble of her lofty dreams. She stopped at a torn banner celebrating Serpentius's first week at the hotel. Happier times before things came crashing down as the angels attacked her hotel and Pentheus, her second ever guest. The first one to genuinely give redemption a try, gave up his life for their cause. Charlie quietly reminisced about his sacrifice until she heard shuffling in the distance and a disoriented cacophony of cruel cackles. Something wasn't right. She summoned her trident as her horns grew out, and her eyes once again became a pool of crimson.
"Hello? Is anyone there?"
Charlie called out, unnerved by the sounds surrounding her before the source finally revealed themselves. Shambling from the wreckage was a group of exorcists, except something was seriously wrong with them. They were all heavily injured, ichor pooling beneath them. Some of them were missing eyes. One had a chunk of her torso bitten off, revealing her ribcage. Another had her pale, mustard-colored intestines spilling out of her, while some unlucky few were missing legs, using their arms to crawl forward, leaving a trail of blood behind them. Charlie staggered back in horror at this legion of corpses as they continued to laugh and jeer at her, their accusatory grins stretching ear to ear on their sickly, gray, rigor mortis-addled faces. She swore she could hear chants of, "Murderer! Murderer!" between their raspy giggles. Terrified, Charlie hunched back into herself as she pointed her trident in front of her in self-defense, desperate to be out of this situation until she heard booming laughter behind the walking corpses as a particularly large silhouette stumbled in front of her. Its wings twisted and contorted into unnatural positions, and she was greeted with the unwelcome but familiar sharp-toothed, leering face, the face of Adam. He rested his axe guitar behind his shoulders as he circled the hellborn princess like a predator stalking his prey.
"Whoa, babe! You really fucked shit up! Now you're just like us!"
Adam jeered as he let out more shrill laughter. Gritting her teeth, Charlie snapped back,
"I am nothing like you!"
Only for the head exorcist to quickly respond.
"Well, aren't you, girlie? You led these losers to their fucking deaths. Like, fuck, babe. You got that worthless snake fuck to sacrifice himself for your shithole hotel. Not that it did shit."
Blood oozed from Adam's chest as he heaved in laughter.
"Like, fuck. You sure exterminated me. Even fed my girls to cannibals. Fucking cannibals. I don't think any of my top bitches are that hardcore. Prime exorcist material right there, sweetie."
Charlie's red pantsuit suddenly transformed into a red dress stained with her red blood and the golden blood of the angels as she collapsed to her knees at these accusations, the gurgling chants of "murderer" ringing in her ears. She screamed in torment as she found herself in her bedroom as Vaggie, who was right next to her in bed, sat up and placed her hands around her shoulders, her remaining eye filled with worry and concern for her girlfriend.
"Are you okay, hon? Another bad dream?"
Charlie gave her a nod and some words of reassurance as she prepared for the busy day ahead. Months had passed since that last extermination. The hotel had been rebuilt grander than ever before with her father's support. Things were even looking optimistic as they were no longer a joke, and they even had some new guests, new friends to be made. Charlie got dressed and made her way to the hotel lobby. Outside, there was a statue dedicated to her beloved childhood friend and servant Dazzle, who lost his life during the battle against the angels, leaving his brother, Razzle, alone. Nearby the front door was a memorial to another hotel member that died in battle, Serpentius, depicted as the hero he was. Charlie gave the portrait a quick salute, proud at how far he'd come since he first arrived, but sad that he was no longer with them. With a heavy heart, she made her way to the hotel's garden to complete her weekly ritual. At the back of the hotel were a set of headstones, with the most prominent placed at the foot of a tree. Charlie marched towards the tree and cleaned the tombstone, placing a bouquet of flowers in front of it. The headstone was marked, "Here lies Adam, the first man." Even Charlie's worst enemies deserved a proper burial.
"Why did you do it, Adam?"
Charlie quietly pondered to the slab of rock.
"I already lost the court case. You won. Was it out of spite? Were you that offended by the concept of redemption?"
Charlie continued, her voice wavering.
"Or was it because of who my parents were? Or were you so vindictive you couldn't stand anyone humiliating you?"
Tears began to fall on Charlie's porcelain white face.
"I never even wanted to fight you. I never wanted it to end that way, but you pushed me. I'm not a violent person. I'm not."
Charlie cleared her throat and got back to her feet.
"It was nice talking to you."
She concluded with the headstone and made her way back to complete more errands. Vaggie paced back and forth in the hotel lobby as she was just about to wrangle the guests for the day's planned activities. It was going to be another day of herding those idiots into making a half, no, quarter-assed attempt at Charlie's redemption activities. Still, though she'll never admit it, Vaggie grew fond of the wayward sinners after spending months with them. Though they could be rowdy and uncooperative at times, when the time came to fight for their dream, they rushed in to help without hesitation, and Vaggie was eternally grateful for that. It made her believe in Charlie's mission that much more. Those idiots that recently joined could use a kick to the shin, though. And speaking of her beloved Charlie, the woman that was the architect of all this came back through the front door with a downtrodden look on her face. It hurt how much she hadn't healed from the battle for the hotel, all because of that pendejo.
"Charlie, you're back!"
Vaggie set aside her clipboard and rushed to greet her girlfriend, her boss, her everything, really.
"Are you okay? You don't look okay. Is this about that dream you had?"
Charlie lowered her eyes.
"I still see his face everywhere."
Revealing all Vaggie needed to know. In a swift motion, Vaggie wrapped her wings around the hellborn princess, hugging her like a blanket.
"Please, Charlie, you did nothing wrong. He gave you no choice. You gave that motherfucker mercy, and he was too much of an asshole to take it."
Vaggie held Charlie to her chest, her heart aching in pain for her.
"Please, you did it all to save all of us, and it was a freak accident anyway. He wouldn't have given any of us the same courtesy, so please, you deserve to forgive yourself."
To the former exorcist's relief, Charlie gave a cathartic response of,
"Okay, Vaggie. Thanks a lot for that."
"No problem, hon,"
Vaggie affirmed.
"I'm gonna hand out some flyers for the hotel. Can you run things here when I'm out, if that's okay with you?"
Vaggie smiled and jokingly responded with a mock salute.
"Anything you say, hon."
Charlie was finally back to her old self. It was another joyous day in hell as Charlie strolled the streets of Pentagram City with a bounce in her step. It was always a good time to spread hope to her people. The literally rosy-cheeked demon girl hopped around the street, introducing herself and handing flyers to any passers-by. Most were not interested in redemption. Some laughed in her face. Others gave her the middle finger and told her to fuck off, and the kindest simply gave her a condescending look. But that just meant they weren't ready yet. Charlie was sure they would come around eventually. They just had to believe in themselves. Just now, she was chatting to an alligator sinner and his friend, a man with a ball bomb for a head, and they actually seemed to be hearing her out.
Rejecting sin? Oh yeah, we were going to a concert about that,"
the alligator man said in a lazy tone.
"Yeah, they're fucking cool and shit,"
his friend added in a gravelly voice. Charlie's spirits rose higher than it ever had. This was exciting. Her message seemed to be spreading across hell. From conversation with these sinners, she got a name, Dawnbringer, a band she hasn't heard of.
"This may sound weird, but Can I come with you guys? I want to see this for myself, if that's all right with you?
Charlie asked in the most respectful tone she could muster. The one with the bomb head looked at his friend dumbfounded before awkwardly responding to the bouncing princess.
Sure, I guess.
Thank you so much!
Charlie excitedly responded, making the two sinners raise their eyebrows at her. The sinners led her to what seemed like the ruins of an arena, the entrance looking completely different to the rest of the haphazardly renovated building. Wait, hold on. She recognized this place. Didn't it belong to a Roman overlord before it was destroyed by the exorcists and the overlord slain during the previous exterminations? It seemed the local sinners repurposed it into a concert venue, a place of violence and death turned into a place of joy and music, the perfect representation of redemption. Charlie couldn't wait to meet the people in charge of all this. When they got to the gate, the imp manning it, upon noticing who exactly she was, tried to let her in for free, but Charlie felt bad for using her authority as a princess and quickly pushed some money into his small red hand before he was able to open it for her. Inside was a sea of rowdy sinners, pushing and shoving, hitting one another, surrounding the stage. The arena echoed with 1,000 different rambunctious sounds, yelling, screaming, cheers, jeers, and scattered conversations. The nervous princess took a seat facing the front of the stage among her people. The lights came to life, and the chaotic noise unified into a single cheer. The stage lights slowly illuminated the members of Dawnbringer. There was a tattooed man with red skin and large horns on his head, wearing nothing but shorts and a leather collar on drums. On the left, a man with a cattle skull as his head, with a straw hat, his leather ensemble reminiscent of the countryside on bass. On the stage's right was the backup guitarist, a woman with blue skin, an X instead of an iris in one of her red eyes. She had lighter blue hair and pigtails and wore a halter top with inverted crosses and a garter belt on white briefs. Finally, there was the front man as the lead singer and guitarist, and Charlie could not believe her eyes. Charlie stood there, silent, her gaze fixated on the stage. She rubbed her eyes once, then twice, then thrice to ensure what she was seeing before her wasn't just another hallucination, a trick of her mind. If this was indeed real, then fronting the band was Adam, back from the dead as a demon. His skin was a sickly pale color, with a hint of lavender, with large red horns that curled upwards among his unkempt brown hair. His eyes were glowing white orbs in a sea of gold, and he had large avian wings on his back, the pattern that of a screech owl. He wore a dark blue jacket, tattered at the ends and sleeves with large golden spikes on the shoulders. His pants were white with a gold belt buckle in the shape of a fig leaf, and the distinctive A, this time with a spiked halo on top, was on his shirt. This couldn't be him, right? Adam was dead, and this is a sinner. Maybe Adam First Man is just this guy's stage name. She's met edgelords like that. In fact, there were some in the audience dressed like exorcists. The front man strummed his guitar, sending a shockwave of energy across the arena, briefly silencing the cheers.
Are you fuckers ready to rock and roll?
The lead singer and guitarist yelled out, getting screams of, "Fuck yeah!" in response. By her father's name, it really was him. Charlie couldn't deny it any longer. Her mind raced to decide whether she was dreaming or not.
All right, you crazy bitches. Give me a one, a two, a one, two, three, four.
Soaking in the approval, Adam danced around on stage and burst into an impassioned guitar solo.
When the rings have fucked you and buried you in their shit, here the path you lived got you well damned and screwed. This is the only summation of what that whore has ran. You misfits went and lost it. Fuck it in this land. Rip and rape and kill and keel. Forget all your possessions and meals. You try to stop the man, you'll know precisely how your ass will go. As they do it as dryly as they can. Fuck it in this land.
Does an overlord own ya? Fuck it in this land. Feel like this face for ya? Fuck it in this land. Scared of old scratch him? Fuck it in this land. Letting angels butcher him? Fuck it in this land. Crossed the lines, ignored the rules, and chose all the ways to be cruel. Got off on shit, can't change your stripes. You faked it while they cleaned your pipes. Waved your soul and got yourself a holy ban. Fuck it in this land. The sinners all screamed in approval, kicking and punching each other in excitement. All except for one. A lamb-looking sinner climbed on stage.
Fuck you, you overrated prick. This is hell. We indulge in this shit, you stupid, ugly bitch!
He yelled angrily. Adam had a sadistic smile on his face and continued to sing and dance. During this routine, he marched closer to the lamb, giving him a kick, sending him into the crowd, knowing what would come next. The bloodthirsty audience descended down on the poor sinner, stomping him with their boots and tossing him around. Charlie could only watch in horror as the crowd cackled and ripped him apart, their boots leaving a bloody pool as his entrails and limbs flew around the arena, and Adam simply continued with his song.
Diss the Arskoetians! Fuck it in this land! Heed less of gangsters! Fuck it in this land! Pricks of sinful vultures! Fuck it in this land! Got shot off for all you had, so fuck it in this land! On the outs and flip the queen, don't forget what it is you've seen and scheme around that wayward thought. Tell her she can kiss your nuts, forget all they ever tried to scam. Fuck it in this land. When the rings have fucked ya and buried you in their shit, hear the path you've lived, got well damned and screwed. This is the only summation of what that whore has ran. And you misfits went and lost it, fuck it in this land. Rip and rape and kill and keel, forget all your possessions and your meals. From your tomb below the greens and show you where you got your jeans. Why play in someone else's poser band? Enemies, you're so much better than! Here's the way we can stop! Fuck it in this land!
Adam ended his song on another guitar solo, as he posed and pointed towards the sky, earning even more cheers from the adoring audience. Charlie stood there in shock, still flabbergasted by this surreal experience. It didn't matter who he was, she still had to speak with him.
Oh yeah, this isn't part of the outfit, babe. It's my fucking feathers and shit.
Adam pointed towards his neck and chest, which, true to his word, was covered by gray feathers acting as a fur collar. He was lounging around backstage with the rest of the band after another successful concert. Fucking awesome is what it was. His drummer, Gigi, was chatting to one of their groupies, yakking on about God knows what. From experience, Adam did not want to know. A part of him believed the mustached sinner said the most wild and provocative shit just to rile people up, as long as he wasn't throwing literal shit. Yeesh. Normally, Adam would have a problem with this, but given what type of women were in hell, and the type Gigi himself liked, Adam would rather leave him be. The bass player was showing off his most prized possession, a golden fiddle he'd won when alive.
Oh, come on, Johnny! That can't be Lucifer's!
Adam said in jest.
And I'm telling you, it's the real deal. Beat that son of a bitch in a fiddling contest,
was the southern gentleman's reply.
You are one crazy motherfucker, you know that?
Adam said while laughing at his bandmate's audacity with a hand on his face.
Come on now, don't judge me, especially how you are with that guitar of yours.
Johnny coyly added, tipping his straw hat a bit, a smile forming on his cow skull face.
Judgment 2 is awesome, and you know it.
Adam bantered with a slight chuckle, jokingly pointing at his bassist. Adam himself was slouching on his seat, munching on some after-show ribs with a scantily clad sinner woman on each arm.
Anyway, so as I was saying, actually, what was I on about? Nah, who the fuck cares? Let's fuck!
this earning him a look of skeptical disapproval from his backup guitarist, Lebian.
Oh, shut the fuck up, bitch. We both know how much dick you can take.
Adam snapped in annoyance. Leby, much like himself, was an exorcist who came back as a sinner after death, except she met her end during the extermination before the last one. Just as Adam was about to make good on his promise, one of his roadies interrupted him.
Boss, this chick wants to see ya.
Oh, sweet. Keep the babes coming. Holy shitballs!
Fidgeting before him, in all her red suit wearing, clown face having glory, was Charlie Morningstar. Adam immediately stood up in alarm, sending the two attractive sinners falling to the floor. He grabbed his guitar, which transformed into an axe in a burst of flames.
I'm handling this right now!
Adam took an offensive stance, preparing to strike before Lilith's little hellspawn held out her hands in diplomacy.
No, I don't want to fight,
she said nervously. Adam lowered his axe guitar in confusion.
Well, so you want to get my autograph, fuck me, or both?
Adam responded with a lecherous grin.
Fuck no,
was Charlie's immediate and exacerbated response.
I just wanted to ask you a few questions like, how are you still alive? What happened?
Well, I don't know, sweetie. After you pierced my fucking heart with your trident, hurt like a bitch, by the way, I just woke up like this.
Adam half-heartedly responded.
And redemption?
Charlie sheepishly added. Adam pressed a finger to Charlie's lips.
Slow down, babe. I'm getting there.
Prompting Adam to drone on.
So I was like, WTF is going on, and why do I look like a freak?
Adam continued while rubbing one of his horns.
All I knew was I needed to survive. Not like something like this hasn't happened to me before.
Adam lazily continued with his explanation.
So let me tell you, hell sucks balls. Like, I thought it was bad just looking at it from above, but actually living here? You know what I mean?
He waved his hands around to emphasize his point to the bored princess.
Anyway, the worst part was hundreds of these losers tried to pounce on me every day, thinking they can take me on, but they fucking couldn't because I'm Adam, the first fucking man!
Light began to crackle on Adam's open hand, demonstrating his point.
But yeah, I had to do that nonstop for about 3 months. It was fun at first, but man, it quickly became a bummer.
His tone shifted into a more solemn one.
It was great when I did it once a year, but every day? I started wondering if this was going to be my life from now on.
Charlie's expression switched to one of sympathy as he told his tale.
Adam, I...
Only to be quickly interrupted, Adam's axe guitar switched back into an instrument and he held on his lap.
So I vented about how I felt and how awful this dump is through song, and apparently people loved it.
Adam's expression began to brighten as he told the next part of his story.
Then I met these awesome guys,
pointing towards Johnny and Gigi's direction, who held up devil horns in response.
And I ran into this bad bitch.
Adam suddenly grabbed Leby by the waist and held her close, who, while surprised at first, grinned ear to ear.
So I found out I wasn't the only one that came back, and I was like, hey, let's start a band. And long story short, we've been rocking out ever since, and it's been awesome. What have you been up to?
Charlie was caught off guard at first at finally being given the chance to speak, but quickly snapped out of it.
Well, we rebuilt the hotel, and it's looking better than ever. We got new guests, and they're all making amazing progress.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Pretty cool, don't get me wrong, but man, does it reek of Lucifer's try-hardness.
Adam interrupted once again. Charlie stood her ground and tried to continue.
Well, I don't appreciate how you insult my mom or the violence at your concerts, but I like your change of attitude and think we can help each other out. Do you and your friends want a place at the hotel?
The Hellborn Princess offered him her hand, a look of hope and sincerity radiating from her. Adam looked at her, confused, before he burst into laughter, much to the poor princess's shock.
Oh, you thought I'd...
Barely able to control himself, he clutched his chest to steady himself.
Appreciate the concern, sweetie, I really do, but I'm doing fine on my own,
Adam said condescendingly as he patted Charlie's head.
Well, if that's all you had to say...
Charlie jolted in alarm as the angel-turned sinner closed the distance between them.
Hold on, I think you really need some help,
she said in a panic before being tossed out of the room. Adam rubbed his hands, proud as he looked back at the lascivious sinners sitting with their arms crossed on his seat. Surprisingly, they were still here.
Now, where was I? You want to join in, Laby?
Quickly turning towards his amused fellow ex-exorcist. Meanwhile, at the hotel, the staff and guests were gathered around to watch Cherry Bomb's favorite program, some public access show on up-and-coming bands. It seems someone recorded the concert of some underground band, only to catch a glimpse of their fallen enemy.
How the fuck is he still alive?
Was Cherry's immediate response, followed by Angel Dust.
I thought we buried him in the back,
the arachnid porn star said with confusion in his voice.
Hijo de la gran puta,
screeched Vaggy. But Alistair stood there in his usual calm, collected confidence. His eyes widened with interest, and his sinister grin beamed ear to ear.
How very interesting.